The following program was pre-recorded on WFAN. It's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you for the next 30 minutes of frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addiction. And happy to have joining me today a gambler in recovery like myself. This is Joe. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Craig. How's it going?
Doing great. How long has it been since you made your last wager?
So my last wager was made on June 9th, 2023.
So we're coming up on one full year without gambling. How does that feel?
Feels great. You know, it feels like a big accomplishment because at one point in my life, gambling was such a big part of it that, I mean, I never thought I can go 24 hours without gambling. So it's definitely something great to see happen.
Yeah, well, let's get into your story a little bit. How old were you when you first got exposed to any kind of gambling?
You know, so I think growing up, gambling was something that was always around. You know, my dad gambled, but never anything crazy. So, like, I definitely knew about lines and whatnot when I was in high school. But my gambling really kind of, you know, catapulted once I got out into college.
And was that because it was just a social thing to do, like your crew of friends, you know, were sports fans or like, you know, cards or what have you, that type of scenario?
Yeah, like when we were playing cards, like it's obviously something that, you know, you do as a group. So, you know, it's a great bonding thing. But then, like, again, with the sports, you know, it's just something you're going out to a bar. There's a game that's going to be on. It gives like that extra level of excitement while you're out. So
it's funny. I was trying to describe it to people that having gambled is that, you know, that's a real innocent way to get into sports gambling, specifically in that, you know, whether you're at home with, you know, whomever, friends, girlfriend, wife, family, or you're out at a bar. Hey, there's a game that's going to be on TV. Let's make it a pay-per-view event. We'll put $50 on the game, and then we'll have a reason to really get into it and watch the game and have a couple drinks. And that's very innocent, but that's how a lot of people start sports gambling.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So for you, was sports gambling the type of wagering that you were most comfortable doing or did the most? Or is it more your casino games and cards and blackjack and roulette and slots and that kind of thing?
So, you know, I definitely would say the sports gambling is what got me into this world. And I probably did that the most, like, and I'm talking like on a consistent basis. Every week, football, we would have a wager out there, baseball, basketball, right? It never matters. But what really destroyed me was these online casinos, right? Okay. So now, like, at the click of my at the click of a button, like, I could be at a live table playing blackjack. It doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Right.
You know, so that's really, you know, something I was unable to manage. You know, like it just got out of control where I was doing it way too much. I was dedicating time from work, from family, just so that I could log on and play. And it was just like something that just broke me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yo, I remember the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City, for me at least, was the first casino that gave you the opportunity to go online and actually see a deal or deal in cards, as opposed to, you know, just playing essentially against a computer, even though it was for real money. Were you attracted to that also? Like, you wanted to see the pretty girl, you know, dealing you cards in real time, or did it not matter to you?
You know what, I think it definitely gave me a little bit of peace of mind knowing that there was, oh, there's a dealer, like, it's not rich. Because, you know, we all know those, you know, poker games and those blackjack games that are completely automated, and you're like, you know, it's just, you never win. So, like, at least it gives you some level of peace of mind that, hey, like, they can't be rigging the deck.
Right.
So it definitely mattered to me because I've never done it the other way, really.
Right. So give me an idea, like, at the height of the addiction, walk me through what a normal day would be. How many hours that you might be gambling, you know, online, on your phone, on the computer, in person. You know, let people understand, you know, how deep you got into it.
So, you know, it really took off again. I was working out in Jersey, and I used to get up early in the morning. So I used to get up at like 3:30, leave the house by like 4:15.
Right.
I'd get to work. I'd have, you know, about like 30 minutes to change, maybe eat some breakfast. And I would work from basically 6 a.m. until 5 p.m. And I started getting up an extra 30 minutes early because I said, well, if I get to the job, I could still eat my breakfast, go through my routine, but now I have 30 minutes where I can hop on, right?
So it
got to a point where, well, now I can't eat breakfast because, like, I need that extra 15 minutes to gamble. And then it didn't just stop at, oh, only when I take breaks or if I go to the bathroom. So I get to the point where, like, I was working and I had the action rolling, you know?
Right.
So, like, you could somewhat stay involved on the blackjack, right? Because, like, you see your cards, you see what's going on. If you want to hit or not, you do what you got to do. So, like, I was able to sustain gambling while working. But, I mean, I was giving the bare minimum at work.
Sure. Right, because you're not focused on it. Your focus was the phone.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, you know, you became a slave to the phone. I did the same thing. You know, whether I was on vacation, if I was at work, you're preparing a show after a show. You know, if I was driving somewhere, you know, I had that phone with me and I would log on. And this is when I was doing it online, at the level I was doing it, you know, there was a casino that, you know, was not legally affiliated with, you know, any other type of, you know, domestic gambling operation. So I would go on this website that I Googled it. I don't know how I even found it. I think I found it first when I was in California at a wedding. And I was like, you mean I can give you my credit card, deposit money, and I can play blackjack right now? And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm playing, you know, 15 hours a day on my phone. And I very quickly became a slave to it where, you know, my phone wouldn't leave my side. It was like an arm, you know, my fingers. I couldn't live without my phone because any free minute I had, it was, okay, log on, start playing blackjack. You know, and that becomes all consuming. And forget about your job, man. You can't concentrate on anything when you get into it at that level. Now, were you married, dating, family, anything like that when you started going down this bad road?
So I had a girlfriend at the time, and you know, I was still living at home with my parents. And you know, again, like you said, with just so consumed by the phone, it'd be days where we're just having family dinner, you know? And, you know, I'm just constantly checking scores. I'm there, but it's like I'm on autopilot mode.
Sure.
So, like, they're talking to me, I'm answering them, but, like, answering them just enough so, like, they're not mad, but, like, also just enough where, like, that can end the conversation right there. Like, I don't want to continue talking. I just want to concentrate. I got live money out there right now. My action's rolling. I have no time to deal with these people that have nothing to do. They have no clue what's going on in my mind. They have no clue, you know, the implications of every single yard in a given game. Like, so it was just hard for me to, like, stay connected with them because I was so immersed into this fantasy world, this gambling life.
Yeah, there's an old line from the movie Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton I always quote, when his wife goes, even when you're here, you're not here. And that was my life too. Like, you're physically there, but you're not listening, you're not paying attention, and you start ruining and pushing people, your relationships, and pushing people away. And you know, they'll talk to you 3 feet away from your face, and you don't hear a damn word they say because your mind is elsewhere. And that's the addiction. You know, that's when it becomes all consuming, and we get ourselves in trouble. Before you got in whatever trouble you got into, or before you decided, all right, this is overtaking my life, I got to get help, and we'll get to that story here in a second. Did your girlfriend, your mom, dad, you know, a brother, a sister, a tight friend, did anybody ever come to you and say, my man, like, you're not yourself, there's something going on, you know, talk to me, what is it? Or was everyone really kind of bamboozled by how you hit it?
Yeah, no, I think my parents, my girlfriend, everyone kind of knew I gambled, right? But, like, I don't think they understood to the extent and how much I was gambling. And, you know, I ended up calling my mother, right? And I broke down crying. And I just couldn't take it anymore. And she was the one that got me connected with the GA program. So I don't want to say, like, it affected my reputation yet. It was well on its way to affecting that reputation with the family and the girlfriend and the employer, where, like, you were just going to see these tendencies of a compulsive degenerate gambler come out. But I just think that I was able to catch it before it gave me those, you know, negative effects.
How'd you handle the finances of this? Because obviously you won at some point, but you lost as well. Were you ever in a bad spot financially where you had to borrow money or had to explain why, you know, your credit card wasn't working or there wasn't money in the bank, anything like that?
You know, yeah. So basically what happened with me is I went out to Canada. My ex-girlfriend and I, we were gambling up there, and, you know, we had a massive win, right? So now we come back to the States, and I'm chasing that massive win.
Sure.
And I get it. I was out with my buddies. We were, you know, pre-gaming before going out to a bar, and everyone's enjoying their time together. And where am I? I'm on the live tables with my phone kind of like buried into the couch because I don't really want anybody to know. I want to just act like I'm there while I'm having a good time. But like my pure dopamine is coming from this phone right now. And I ended up hitting this massive number where like I show my buddies and they're like, dude, what? You're like, they didn't even know I was gambling. Right. And I gave that money to my ex-girl. I said, listen, you're graduating, book a trip anywhere you want in the world. This is what the gambling can provide us. Right. Just like, so when I'm telling you I'm gambling, like, let me rock, let me do what I need to do, because there's going to be way more trips coming. And the next week, now that I'm working again, I'm gambling all day at work. My paycheck gets direct deposited Thursday. It was gone before the day was over.
Right.
And now, yeah. Like,
it's an interesting take. It's, you know, I'm kind of reliving my own experience just listening to you talk. And I use that same excuse, you know, on my family. Hey, you want to get on that private jet and you want to go to this place or that place and have a great vacation, or you want to get a better apartment or a house or whatever it might be, or a nice car, that kind of thing. Well, you know, gambling provided that. So if I'm going to gamble, you guys will have to kind of keep your lip tight, because look what gamble does for us. Now, you know, you don't share the losses the same way. You don't explain to people that you might win, but before you win, you know, I've got the mortgage payment on the table, and if I lose it, we're screwed next month, and I may have gotten lucky enough to win, so you just don't know about it. But it was even, I look back on it, and I lied about the wins, I lied about the losses. And I think even more important than lying about those two things, I lied about the amount that I was risking. So like you, my family, my coworkers, everybody knew I liked to gamble. That was not a secret to anybody. Every vacation we took was gambling related. Every weekend we got away was gambling related. The issue with me, like you, nobody had any clue to how much money I was risking, how big the markers were, how I signed on a dotted line and had no care whatsoever about the amount of money attached to my signature there. And that's obviously when you get yourself in trouble and you go down a slippery slope.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what for you, before we take a quick break and get to the good stuff, what was that kind of bottom of the barrel moment? What happened where you ultimately said, all right, mom or whomever, you're right, I've got a problem, I can't control it, I better go get help, because if I don't go get help, bad things are going to happen. What was the moment for you?
The moment for me was that second week now, where I kind of acknowledged that I had this issue with gambling, I couldn't control myself. The second week, promising myself that I was not going to log on to the app. And when that direct deposit came on Thursday, it was like the week before never even happened. And I'm over there, I'm hiding at work, and I'm trying to just deposit. It's not going through. And I'm like, I just want to stop. I don't even want to do this. But like, it was like I wasn't controlling my actions anymore. It was like I was completely overtaken with this inability to not place a bet. And within 2-3 hours of that second paycheck being deposited, I was depleted again. And it was just time for me to walk in, because I couldn't do it on my own.
Well, let's stop at that right there. We'll take a quick break. Talking to Joe, gambling recovery, almost a full year without making a wager of any kind. We'll get to the good stuff right after this on Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Happy to have Joe on the line. Dan's back with us next week. He's busy with his new gig, traveling the country, telling people about the dangers of gambling addiction. So, Joe, you got to the bottom of the barrel there. You know, paychecks go right out of your bank account into a casino's account. You got 0-0-0 again, and you decide, I'm tired of being tired. I need help. My mom acknowledged that I need help. I'm going to go into a GA meeting and start the process of getting help. What was the first week or two like for you when you were now trying to be committed to not gambling at all? Most of us at some point early on, you know, try to test ourselves and we do gamble. Did you go complete cold turkey and that was it? Or in the first couple of weeks, did you still dabble a little bit?
So I'll never forget when I got to my first meeting, I had a bet that was still out, right? And I went into this meeting with a terrible attitude, terrible mentality, saying that this isn't going to work. There's no way in the world. And after I heard everybody share, I was like, wow. And I really connected, and a lot of what they said resonated with me. So, you know, luckily for me, that bet that I had placed lost, right? And yep. I'm able to stay clean for, I want to say, a couple months. And then in the beginning, I just found it very hard for me to connect with a lot of the guys. Like, I wasn't doing it the GA way where I'm opening up, I'm using the phone list, I'm getting involved in the group chats. And a couple weeks without gambling, of course, I was, like, very proud. And I just thought, well, I'm young. I know what I can't do. I got to make sure I just don't gamble. I can do anything I want, but I just can't gamble. And I just stopped coming. And then sure enough, life just hit me where you have stresses with work, stresses with family, relationships, and you just want to escape. And that's exactly what happened to me until I got back into the room in June.
Yeah, so you gambled again, and then just out of curiosity, what made you take it more seriously the second time around? Just didn't like the guy you saw in the mirror, you were upset, what was it?
So my sister got married June 3rd, right? And I was supposed to speak at the ceremony, right?
Yep.
And I mean, I'm around all my family and, you know, some friends that I've known since I'm a kid. And I get up to the podium, I start to speak, and about halfway through the passage, I can't breathe. Like, I wasn't breathing, right? Huh. So I see there's only a couple lines left. I'm just going to finish this. And then once I'm done, like, you know, I'll take my big breath away from the mic. And I'm about a line to go, and all the air leaves my body, right? And I cannot breathe. I take a step back. It looks like I'm all choked up. Everybody's like, what a great. But in reality, I couldn't breathe because I no longer knew who I was. Like, again, I'm around all my family. They know me. I don't even know them. I'm like, I have no ability to even talk right now. And it was at that moment, I'm like, I'm gambling. I'm not here for my sister. This girl that's always been here for me, I'm not here right now. I'm too busy in my addiction. And that was the day that I just said, enough's enough. I'm done wasting time. Like, I can't waste any more time, you know? And fortunately for me, since June 9th, I haven't.
That is very powerful. And it's I smiled when you said most people at the wedding just thought I was getting choked up because I love my sister so much. But in reality, and I'm sorry to laugh, but it rang funny to me that the whole room had no idea what you were going through because, you know, we hide it so much and internalize it and don't want people to know about it. But the reality is that you were having a breakdown. You were panicking about what was going on. And thank God for that moment, because without that moment, you know, you and I might not be talking today, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So give me the good stuff. So you start this journey of not gambling, and not that you ever get comfortable not gambling, because it was such a big part of your life like it was for me. And I do explain to people, like, just because we're now committed to not gambling, and gambling, you know, took a lot of things away from us, you know, self-inflicted. You know, one of the reasons we do go back to it outside of being addicted to it is that not every single story that we have that, you know, involves gambling is a negative story. You know, you did have big wins. You did go on a vacation. You did get to buy certain things, whatever it might be. And there are people that think, oh, every single aspect of my gambling life was a negative and just a matter of time until I got help. And that's just not true. You know, I have some of the greatest moments of my life came around a gambling trip. And I own those moments as much as I own the negative ones. But what did you do when you started recognizing that, wow, all of a sudden I have all this free mental space that I used to use towards, am I gambling? When am I gambling? Where am I gambling? Money, all that stuff. How did you fill that void when you recognized, wow, I got a lot of free time on my hands now mentally?
you know, I think it was a massive opportunity for me to really just do some self-inventory. You know, like, again, I started gambling when I was 18. It was like in my 6-7 years of gambling, I just was, again, like, on autopilot. Like, I haven't developed. Like, now I was 24 at the time, and I'm just, like, here, and I have, like, the mentality of an 18-year-old. I don't remember anything that I've liked within the past 5 to 7 years that didn't have something to do with being in action. Like, right. Who am I? And, like, it was a great opportunity for me to figure that out and for me to figure out where I want to go and where I want to be. And, you know, like, it's just something now that I don't have so much clutter because of the gambling that I can actually go and do and figure out, and I can grow. So, you know, this first year for me has definitely been big in terms of, like, utilizing this time sure. that I give to gambling.
And I think what you just said is really important for you, for your growth, for mine, for people out there listening, is, you know, you have this opportunity to figure out who you are and who you want to be. You know, you were Joe the Gambler, and you can shed that title now. There's no doubt in my mind, without having never met you, you're a better brother than you were, you're a better son than you were, you're a better friend than you were, because now you're present emotionally. And it doesn't even matter what you do for a living, because that really shouldn't define you either. But you're now going to be defined by your actions moving forward. And we talk a lot in this world about, you know, actions speak louder than words, and they do. Because you could have told me or your friends a million times what you weren't and what you were going to do, but now you're living it. And there's great value in being able to look in the mirror or tell somebody, this is who I am now. And having been able to discover who you are is a really powerful thing, especially at such a young age. So I would ask you, now that you're almost a full year into recovery and having gambled, there's a lot of guys out there like you, young guys who are trying to figure it out, who know they've got a problem, but are still hiding it and are overwhelmed with, you know, how am I never going to gamble ever again the rest of my life? Or how am I going to tell my wife, my girlfriend, you know, my family that I've got a problem? How am I going to walk into a GA meeting for the first time, which I hated? I shopped around. I found 6 meetings until I found the right one for me. What do you tell that young guy that was you a year ago, 2 years ago, about why he should take that step and trust the process?
You know, I think when I came in, I thought that it was just a money problem, right? Like, I couldn't control myself spending money on gambling. And the longer I stayed into the program, the more and more I realized that this has nothing to do with money. You know, money's what fueled it, but it was a means of escape for me. It was a means of me avoiding something that I didn't want to go through. If it was hardships, you know, playing college sports, if I was having difficulty in the classroom, problems with relationships, you know, it was just something that I could utilize to just escape. And you look back now, and I'm like, I wasted so much time, right? And I know, like, relatively to the rest of the people that I've been fortunate enough to meet in GA, I really didn't waste that much time. But the fact that it was 5 to 7 years, like, that's 5 to 7 years of holidays that I'm not going to really remember anything with my grandparents or my parents or my sisters, because I was too consumed by my addiction. And for the younger guys, it's like, you really could be anything you want to be in this world. I truly believe that. And you'll never be what you want to be as long as you gamble. I truly believe that as well. And you have an opportunity, like, as a young man or woman in this country, to really, you know, succeed as long, but, like, you can't expect success and you can't expect to live this amazing life when all you're concerned with is gambling and where the next bet's coming. So,
well, yeah. I think it's really well said, and I'm glad you shared your story, and I hope you continue to share it, because, you know, we need more people your age and younger who have been through it, who get it, who can talk to young people about what it's like, who've walked a mile in their shoes to share their experiences. And I'm proud of you. I look forward to you being able to celebrate that one-year anniversary coming up in a few weeks. And just keep on doing what you're doing, man. You're doing a great thing for yourself and for your family. And you will be able to look back even more so than you can now, which is awesome that you can, with great clarity. You know, year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5. And you'll be able to look back on it and even smile at the life you used to lead, knowing that you conquered it. And I appreciate you coming on and wish you the very best.
Hey, thanks, Craig, for the opportunity. And thanks again for everything that you're doing for us gamblers out there. It means a lot.
Be well. I hope I get to meet you one day soon, too. Take care.
Thanks, Craig.
All right, great job. I love talking to people like that who really have a sense of who they are and are able to share their stories with complete honesty. It's very powerful. And I hope that it resonates with those of you that are listening right now, whether it's you who are the gambler or if you've got a son, an uncle, a brother, a family member, a friend that you feel somehow has a gambling problem and just needs a little bit of help. And I always encourage people that are feeling a certain sort of way that it's okay not to be okay, but please, I beg you to pick up the phone and share your story and share your feelings with somebody out there that cares about you. You know, the suicide rate of gamblers is higher than that of any other addict. And if you just pick up the phone and call one person, help can be right around the corner. And I implore you to consider doing that. And if you're not the one with the problem, but you know full well that the person you're married to or dating or related to or love has a problem, do not be afraid to ask them about it. You know, a lot of times we get afraid to ask people those types of questions because we don't want to intrude. It's too personal. It's none of my business. And the reality is that it is. If you care enough about a person, it's also on you to pick up the phone and see how they're doing, much like it is on our side to pick up the phone and tell you we're not doing very well. And I'm glad Joe was able to share his story. And I appreciate the opportunity to keep bringing this show to you and appreciate all the text messages we get, emails we get, and tweets we get about how this show is helping people and raising awareness to addiction, specifically gambling addiction. And in our attempt to humanize the addict, I think we've taken great strides in doing that as well. Joe Beningo's up next. Enjoy the rest of your weekend as we move ever so closely to Memorial Day, right here on Sports Radio 66 WFAN. This has been another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Have a blessed weekend.